Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Hello, witches. Welcome back to another episode of Business Witch. It is my pleasure to introduce you to our guest today. Anne Nguyen is a somatic sex, love, and relationship coach and fellow Virgo. Welcome to the Business Witch Zoom room.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
When I was saying that, I was like, I want to make a note to my editor to play those like foghorns that they play in the club. Like, welcome to the Zoom room. Hey, that was the energy nerd. And, you know, pivoting off of that energy, tell the people about the work you do in the world.
Well, I'm a somatic sex, love, and leadership coach. But really, I think that the core of my work is that pleasure is a liberatory practice. I was actually thinking about this in bed, and I'm sure everyone listening to this can relate to, like, how do I describe my work? But currently, I've been feeling it at, like, the intersection of, like, intersectional feminism, kind of, like, tantra Buddhism, and then pleasure work, pleasure, sexuality, eroticism as a fuel. And really, I think it's really been for me a fuel to help our generation grow into the mature feminine, sort of the archetype of mother or, yeah, like the mature feminine in our world, especially considering the times that we're in. And so that's sort of like the mesh of everything that I've been culminating my work into, I guess, over the past year or so, still in progress.
Yeah. And I think it always is. And I think that that's important for people to know, like, that iterating or feeling inspired by something new, it happens no matter what income level you're at, no matter what year you're at in your business. I dated in my late 20s a narcissist who offered me one very, very good piece of advice that I will hold on to forever. He was a writer, and I was like wanting to write an autobiography at 26. And he was like, Kara, if you write your magnum opus now, like, what will you do with the rest of your life? And I've always held on to that like, we're supposed to iterate on and like refine and hone in on our message. So despite how crazy he was otherwise, I appreciate the piece of advice.
Well, you know, we take what we can. Also, I'm a little, did this ever come out into the world? I'm a little bummed if it didn't. I would love to read your Netflix memoir. This is very care of you.
I feel like there was another, it was a post I read that was something like, every 20-something-year-old girl like thinks she has a memoir in her, which is true. Like, our stories are important, but this idea of like, I have something that I need to like share with the world. I think I'm still honing what that message is, which is you bringing it up made me think of it.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
And it kind of relates to what I've seen as we've talked about your work, is that there's been this real iteration. And I want to invite you to describe it in your own words, because I feel like I would butcher it, like paraphrasing how you described it. But there was like you started your business and you were working in a specific way, and then you birthed a little bit more of like what you think the methodology really is. And I'm curious for people to hear maybe what that process was like, and then what your learnings were in like being in that process.
Yeah. So I don't know if you mean sort of the arc of my entrepreneurial journey, which I think you do. So we're just going to go for it. I would say a lot of my work too has been around the archetypes of maiden to mother. And we all have these archetypes within us, I would say, also regardless of gender. And, you know, I started I would say I had my maiden phase of my business and my maiden phase of starting my business. And so the maiden in us is sort of the like young, bright-eyed, maybe naive. Like you have to have a sense of naivete in a way to do something like start a business, right? Like just that like, oh my God, anything is possible kind of energy. And it was great. And it was deeply rooted in my own values still. Like I genuinely wanted to help people. I was excited. I was bright-eyed. But what I would say too, and I think this has been sort of a change in the industry, but also just aging and growing, I think, like there is also sort of the allure of like, oh my God, I can make as much money as I want and I'll have this lifestyle. And I don't know, it was very, I would say still tied into like maybe some capitalism, right? Like in that. And I was quite successful out of the gate. I think I had maybe like an 80K year my first year, like 150K year my second year. And I was going for it. Like I was experimenting, I was doing all the things. And I've always felt connected to my work. But I think that what I realized was that sort of all the toxic stuff that I received from capitalism or as an Asian American woman, like defining myself on success and monetary success and like winning and going hard and fast, like all of that led to essentially a burnout and like a deep underworld initiation. And so I would say maybe that was like 2.5-3 years into my business. I reached that point and I experienced clinical depression for the first time. I think there was just a lot of things. There was a lot of things I was breaking up with. And so that led me to this like really big void and having to stop my business for a while. And it was in that place where I was like, what am I teaching? How am I teaching it? And more than anything, it's how have I been in relationship to myself as I've built my business? And it was like, I didn't even realize that that's what was like killing me on the inside. So it took sort of the depression and the underworld, and I went on a sabbatical. I took time off and just really did some like soul searching around that. And I would say that this past year has been like a slow rebuilding of that. I think kind of recovering from like overdoing to trying to find alignment, trying to find like my way. I think also through all of that growth, right? Like 4 years into life, let alone having a business, you grow and you change. And so it's also been a rebuilding of like sort of how do I teach? The essence of what I teach is the same, but I think there's like nuances and like maturity of me as a business owner, maturity of my work, maturity of my business practices, like all of this that's been happening. And so I've really been in that rebuilding phase for the past year, maybe even a little less. I feel like I didn't actually like pull myself out of depression until like April of last year, but about a year into it, and it's still ongoing. I've definitely like done things and stayed in my business, which is a huge thing. There are times that I considered quitting or getting a full-time job, and I want to like name that for people just to normalize it. But I'm still here. I'm still rocking. I'm still standing. And a lot of it is being connected to my mission and like my love for the work. Like when I'm with my clients, like all the conversations, I've had so many conversations with people around this, like, do I keep going in the times where it feels the hardest? And everyone's always like, well, do you still enjoy the work? And I'm like, oh, yeah, like without a doubt, like coaching people, helping people, experiencing that transformation, being with my clients, like I've never lost that. I think it's just been such a like recovery on the like, how do I do that business wise? That has been the journey.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think people can probably really relate to, I love being with my clients and the how part feeling really sticky, whether they've experienced monetary success that has created their salary or not. You know, I see that so often with people. And I also appreciate you kind of bringing up the nuance of like your own experience with the change in the industry. And as you were talking about it, what I was thinking about was the episode that came out the week before yours with Kelly Deals. She talks about how we like learn these principles that we think we're supposed to adopt because it's how someone teaches us how to do business. And then we internalize that we're wrong if like they don't work or we feel bad about them or they burn us out. It's like, I must be bad at business, as opposed to like what it sounds like when you're talking about it is like, this was in opposition to actually something that was true to my mission. Like, this is a capitalist idea. It's not like what my work is about, and sort of reshaping and renegotiating that relationship. But I think when people are inside of it, they're imagining like, I'm doing something wrong. Like, I'm failing.
Yeah.
Like, I must not be able to like hack this business thing. And, you know, I talk so much on this podcast about how the industry has changed, how the industry has changed. But I think it's also about like how our world has changed. It's like we are looking at the inconsistencies with how our systems are built and how they mirror community care, our moral values, like what we actually want to create in the world. And doing that when like you're with your clients and you're like, yes, I love this work. I feel so like morally congruent with this work. And then you look at, but these other things that I've done, I have a healing journey to go on about not shaming myself or feeling like I did something wrong by participating in a system that was designed to put profit over people, even though in my sessions, I put people over profit, right? And it's like those incongruencies, I see that as being really like what my work exists to rectify for people, is to really like teach people how to sell in a way that is congruent with their values so that they don't have to participate with that in that. But I couldn't even have done that if I didn't have to similarly be like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't think I agree with like the way that I've been operating. So I just wanted to like mirror that and name that.
Yeah, no, that's such a beautiful summary. And yeah, I mean, I think that's something that you do in an incredible way. I think that's what attracted me to learning from you. And I do see it as sort of a bigger shift, which I'm excited about. But just to anyone listening too, I just feel called to say, like, it's so much. Like, it is truly a Herculean task not to just be an amazing practitioner, which is something that I'm so passionate about and care so much about. And I know you do too. But then to like be an ethical and congruent and healthy, but also like devoted and dedicated business owner, CEO. It's just like the amount of hats that we have to wear, and they're two ginormous roles that we have to hold. And I think that part of growing into that mother archetype, or what my journey has been, is just like the sobering reality of like, this is what it is. And I think I really had to like look at that for myself, because I think the industry before was like, this is a cash grab, or like you get to work a little bit and like vacation a lot and like, you know, like make tons of money and da da da. And I think a lot has changed in the world. A lot has changed in our industry. But I think I've really been sitting with the sobering reality, and also like a different energy in me of like, oh, like I want to work. Like, this is not about chasing sort of like a lifestyle or a certain amount of money, or, you know, although of course I want to be able to provide for myself. Like, it's like now relating to like, I'm ready to root down and sit in this and figure it out and be devoted to it in the long run, because my mission is so important. And I don't know, I think just growing out of any illusions of like, this is easy, has been really powerful. And that's not to say it can't be fun or pleasurable. I believe in those things, but I don't know. I just want to tell everyone, like, this shit's hard, for real.
Yeah, no, I think that it's kind of interesting. Like, sometimes when I'm coaching people, I want to be careful not to place on them a sensation of feeling disempowered by being like, well, yeah, it hasn't gotten you the results that you want yet, because like you need to work harder at it and you're already resentful. Like, do you want to do this? Like, it is hard, you know? And that's why I try to be really transparent. Like, you know, when you've been to business switch office hours, like I'll literally like put in the chat a template of an email that I'm like sending to people, or I'll like say very explicitly the kind of action that I took. And like, it feels good to share this on this platform too. Like sometimes it is literally me like hitting up every person who clicked the link and being like, hey, what did you think about this? And like, if I'm sending 50 emails, I don't expect 50 people to get back to me, but I'm not sitting there wondering if the like, you know, 35 people who didn't hate me, right? Like I'm just keep on keeping on. And like, I think a lot of people send one email and they don't get a response and they feel so dejected. And it's like, you know, I've been doing this for years, so I've built a kind of resilience around not taking personally people's responses. But yeah, like such a big part of what I do is not just having these really fun conversations with you or like going into my coaching calls. It's like writing 75 pages of email content and like talking with my assistant about how to organize a system that from a user experience side makes sense, and then realizing it still doesn't after we've set it out. It's like none of that stuff is fun, but it's just part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's just been something that, yeah, has been maturing and growing in me of like, nothing is going to be perfect. Even if, you know, I fantasized about getting a corporate job at times and I was talking to my partner about it. And I was like, well, you know, like, maybe you'll like deal with less of my like emotional drama if I get a corporate job. And he's like, babe, like there's gonna be shit there too. Like it's everywhere. Like you just have to, I think it's just been a year of being like, okay, like the incredible good that this comes with, can I really sit with what it's gonna take to do that? And it doesn't have to be hell and it doesn't have to be like the worst thing ever, but like it just is the reality of like this pulse of what you have to do to keep it running. And I think to say yes to having a coaching business has to, I just feel like kind of I'm wide-eyed, I'm clear of like, okay, that's what it's going to require of me. Do I still choose this? And the answer still remains a yes.
And to be like, I'm willing to feel any of it. I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but I have an annual existential crisis about if I should become a therapist instead, so that I don't have to do things like the system stuff that I find like tedious and sometimes confusing or overwhelming. And then it's like, bitch, you would be like doing so much insurance paperwork. Like it's just a different version of tedious.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I was listening to someone's podcast. Her name's DL Sharon. And she was like, you know, any industry is an industry. And I think you and I have both been part of different industries. I was part of the tech industry, you know, when I was younger, I was part of the, like, you know, service industry. And it's like every industry is an industry. It's going to have stuff. Like nothing's going to be a walk in the park, really.
I'd love to hear from you personally, like how being in business, which helped you shift how you think about sales while you were in this moment of like, I actually don't think I want to do it this way, but like, how do I want to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just having flashbacks. I'm having a body emotion flashbacks of, I think that for me, sales calls, even 4 years in, like never felt easy. Like it was never something that felt like, oh, I've mastered this, right? I had sold $10,000 packages before and still didn't feel confident or didn't necessarily, there's so much nerves, there's so much everything around it. And I think that it was a lot of toxic things that I learned. It was also a lot of, I think, just like feelings that I had towards myself, judgments or like shame, perfectionism, like all of those really fun things. But I think what I really enjoyed or what really transformed for me in Business Witch was, you know, you really constantly pointing me back to my values, constantly pointing me back to like essentially the way, because I have such a deep imprint of like, I know I'm an incredible coach. I think what you did was really help me transfer that same amount of confidence that I had of like, I know I'm an incredible coach, to like, I can be that same incredible coach on a sales call. And that's really like the only skill that I need to transfer over. Maybe not the only one, but a huge one to transfer over, to remove that friction of, you know, I'm going to name what I was afraid of, because I think a lot of people can relate. Like, I'm afraid of being salesy. I'm afraid of being pushy. I'm afraid of being non-consensual. I'm afraid that my prices are unethical or wrong or bad, or like all of those things. And I was always so terrified of the money conversation specifically with people, because my tendency was to be like, okay, like, you know, it's fine. I don't want to push you. I'm super trauma informed. Like, I, you know, I respect it. I understand. I'm compassionate. And it was actually like just kind of backing down and backing out of belief in like the client, and also like belief in the work and the mission and things like that. So yeah, I essentially got coached by you through what I would say is a sprint of sales calls that felt absolutely grueling, but also I grew so much and learned so much, in huge part to your support. So yeah.
Saying that, I wanted to bring up, because it felt like, I remember this office hours specifically, which for people who are like, what is office hours? It's the space during Business Switch where you can come twice a week and get coached by me. So there, it's literally like office hours at college, where like I sit in the Zoom room, you come in, you ask your questions, you can come at any point throughout the hour, and like I take as many people as I can get to in the hour. But I remember when you were, we were talking about how like the nature of your work is to talk about something that's really intimate, like sexuality and pleasure and self-love and self-worth, like all of these things are really intimate, and to view talking about money with the same level of reverence and care of like, it's really, really an intimate thing. And if somebody felt afraid to talk about intimacy, which is the point of them coming to see you, you wouldn't be like, it's okay, we don't talk about it anymore. And that instead it would be like, okay, well, can we talk about why you feel this way? And I remember that call like distinctly. But I want to name it for people listening. They might not be a sexualities coach, but it's like, you might be talking to people about childhood trauma. You might be talking to people about their intimate partnership. You might be talking to people about how they feel like they don't deserve to have the job that they want to have. You might be talking to people about like any number of things. You're talking to people about something that's like really intimate and personal and important to them. Money is not different from that. It may not be your area of expertise.
Yeah.
But it's not different.
Yeah.
What shifted for you, if you like, if you remember, in that kind of making that correlation?
I mean, I think it was really thinking like, oh, wow. Like, I started even just thinking out loud, like, how do I coach someone around something around pleasure or sexuality? Right. Yeah. Like, I think that when you said that, it just made it crystal clear to me. If someone's like, well, I just like don't really believe that I can have a great sex life or like dating life, there's just no part of me that believes that. I'm like, no, like this is like for sure possible for everyone. And I think maybe having that same, not necessarily like, oh, it's for sure possible for everyone to pay, but like, it's for sure possible for this transformation to happen for you. And so I literally thought of like, what questions would I ask a client? I'd be like, interesting. Can you tell me more about that? Like, where is that coming from? Like, what does that bring up for you? You know, and it just opens up this whole, like, I don't know. I think that I just had like, yeah, I did have a little like creepy white salesman like in my like like almost as like what I thought I was transforming into as soon as money came into the conversation, instead of like this like incredible coaching space I've been holding the whole time. And then it was like, oh, what if I like don't have to change my at all? Like I just stay coach Anne through it. And so it's made me start to think like, oh, like instead of like scripts or like things like that, it was like genuinely like if I could just really talk to this person about what's coming up for them, the same that I coach around pleasure, like that opens up so much. And you know, that happened, and it didn't mean that every single person said yes to me. I did send 3 clients, which is great. But you know, it felt so much better, and it felt so much more genuine to me. And I think just having that same also, like, you know, I'm a ride or die for my clients. Like what I just said to you, I'm like, no, like I believe with like my whole fucking chest, like you can have this. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing that energy into an enrollment call felt like scary, but also like, oh, like that's actually so true for me. You know, like I really do believe that everyone's capable of this. Again, doesn't mean it's easy, but absolutely, like I think it's possible for you. And I have actually really seen that has even people that, you know, aren't ready to sign on in this moment or that end up saying no, like I have left every single one of them with the like, I want to leave you with this feeling that you are creative beyond belief, and that this is absolutely possible for you, and that my door is open for you, like whenever you're ready for that. And I actually leave them with that now as a practice of like, if we could lean into your most resourceful, your most like devoted, like I'm so devoted to your desire. I want every person leaving this call to be as devoted to your desire as I am, because I really am. I'm like fully behind it. And it's been beautiful. It's actually been a feeling of like, regardless of how it turned out, I feel like I really stood for them and like had them walk away with something. And I really hope that the people that like didn't say yes, but I gave that to, are like navigating their life with that seed of possibility within them now. So yeah.
That's so beautiful. And you said something about like, no, not all of them said yes, but 3 of them did. It's like, not everybody is supposed to say yes. You know, yeah. This idea that having a high conversion rate on your sales calls is quote unquote a good thing. Like at the stage of business that I am at, the majority of people that I speak to are like not necessarily a good fit for what it is that I do. Mm-hmm. And so this idea, like I have as I've advanced in business, my conversion rate has gotten lower, whether it's because people are like, well, your rates are so high that I can't afford them. Or I'm like, I think you'd be better served, you know, in business wish than like paying for a one-on-one container. Mm-hmm. I think this idea of looking at conversion rate as a percentage takes the humanity out of it. It's like those 3 people were really people who were able to receive the intentionality and care and like needed to work with you. And that's the point of a sales call, is like deciphering if that's the relationship that is happening in the room, not to turn every single person into a paying client in that moment. Yeah. And sometimes people come back, and if you leave them without predatory energy, they're way more likely to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I also want to speak to, you're going to maybe be like, what? Like, I honestly learned so much about selling from watching you sell and being sold to by you. And it was phenomenal to like, I think that what I see in you, can I share about it? I know some of it was.
I love compliments. Have you heard me say on this on this podcast, I have a praise kink? I feel like I've said it like 45 times.
I am so, okay. I got sold too hard by Kara Kovacs, and it was great. But there are things you did. You sent out personal invitations. You sent out videos of you talking about, like, why am I reaching out to you? What do I care about? Like, what is it that I'm, like, super passionate about? Like, and it was intimate. Yeah, I mean, it makes you feel seen. And you also, midway through, I signed with a different mastermind, which I'm sure, like, wasn't easy. I know, as a business owner, like, that's not easy. But you had this community call that you hosted for the people that you were inviting into your mastermind, and it was just like, get to know each other. And I remember it was so hard for me because I love you, and I obviously love the coach that I'm working with now. And you even said that, I think, in one of your videos. You were like, I know that there are, like, other great people too, and if, like, there are other great people you want to work with, like, I support you in your decision. But I remember emailing you saying, like, oh yeah, like, I think I'm, like, in for the next round. Like, I love you, I want to stay in your world. I did continuation for, but you emailed me back and you were like, well, just, like, come to the call anyways. Like, I'm here to build community and, like, have cool people meet each other. And it was just so amazing, truly, to just see someone that was just, like, so devoted to, like, I just care. And I think I've heard you say it before, like, I just want to hang out with, like, cool people that, like, I vibe with and that I believe in, and that we're, like, all this, like, team. I feel, like, teary-eyed. I'm like, oh, I think it's just so beautiful seeing that in a world that is so, like, anti that. And so I learned so much just from, like, watching you. And I just, like, want to let you know, like, I see your devotion, your perseverance, like, you really care about your people. And I think, and then in this way too, like, seeing the ways, like, even when I was like, no, like, you would still, like, catch me and you would still be like, look, like, it's up to you. But, like, I don't know, I'm not gonna, like, stop being like, you're welcome here.
Yeah. No, I thank you for sharing that. Like, first of all, it feels really nice to get, like, direct feedback about how it's received, because that was an experiment. And what Anne is referring to is the last round of my mastermind. I didn't live launch. I just sent out custom invitations. And of the, I think I invited 9 people, 7 people ended up enrolling. So, like, it was a great experiment if we're looking at conversion rates. But I think what I really enjoyed most about it was that I was like, yeah, I'm doing, like, a meet and greet format because, like, I have a vision for what I want the space to be. And, like, that's why I'm doing it this way, as opposed to, like, doing a public launch for a program. But whether it's, like, mastermind or one-on-one, I feel very strongly that people that I work with one-on-one, I want to be able to guarantee them a certain kind of experience. And that's a new thing. Like, I didn't have that a few years ago. And it was cultivated from, like, watching how I really like to work with people, what kind of people got the best results from working with me, and, like, what it was that I really wanted to, like, focus in on shaping and helping people hone. So it feels really good to get that feedback. And I think also for people listening, like, what they can take from it is it was just, like, an honest process. And I think what the issue is in our industry around sales is if you're using a script or you're using a tactic or you're using, like, a hack, it's very hard to make that feel honest. And then you mentioned it. You had this feeling of, like, I turn into a little white salesman at, like, this part in the thing. And it's like, you feeling that is a sign from inside of yourself that what you are doing is not congruent for how you like to operate in your business. I also, like, had that little white salesman where I was like, I must be, like, growing past my mindset block to be able to, like, adopt this as a method. And eventually, this was, like, almost 2 years ago now, I was like, no, I just think this is fucking dumb and not alignment for me. But, like, am I wrong? Am I bad? Am I having a mindset block? No, like, I divest to, like, this is not for me. I'm not doing it this way. So then I made up what would be an honest way of doing it. I was like, I'm just going to like experiment with doing it this way instead. And that was how the entire course for business switch was made of like, if I centered my values, how would I be selling? And it changes everything because then you are, whether it's an experimental, we're going to have a Zoom coffee date with the people I may be inviting into my mastermind or in your one-on-one practice, or when I do sales calls for business, which it's like, I'm just saying what I think is true.
Yeah.
There's no pitch. There's just like me shooting the shit. And like, if people think that's a pitch, then it wasn't for them and that's fine.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I think you just have this beautiful learn sales from Kara. Like, just do it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I do think too, I just want to say this too. I'm going to like keep hyping you up. I think I also got to see, well, what was great about the course, I will say, is, you know, I got to bring like, oh, what are certain objections? And, you know, it's not like you were giving me a script, but just hearing the way you would approach it or some of the things that you would say, I think it's always good to learn from people who embody slightly different energies from you. And like when I'm in coach mode, which I also transferred into my sales mode, it was like, or just in general, I think it's like a growth edge for me, even as a coach, is like, I am so the like loving, supportive, like I'm going to cheer you on, like, yes, type of person. But saying sort of like the truth that feels hard, but is loving and comes from love, is something that I saw you do or like say about sales that I admired. It was edgy, it was scary. And I think you also named too, like, this is just my style. I think it's your style just as a coach also. But it was like cool to be in that energy and just like give a tangible example. I think, you know, you said like, yeah, I will tell people like, you know, I think that if you keep on trying to figure it out, like just by yourself, like you're leaving money on the table. And I'm just going to be honest with you about that. And like letting that be what it is. And I think you were just really not afraid to, I think something I admire about you and the way you did it too, is like, you're not afraid to have people walk away feeling like, ouch, like that kind of, it was a truth that came from love, right? It's not like you're bullying anybody. It's clean, but like, I don't know. I think of it as like sword energy, like be willing to just like say the truth. And I don't know. That was just like an energy that I learned from you that I'm like still trying to practice. Edgy. But I think just your teaching around like, it's not always necessarily about being liked, it's about standing for them and like being a coach. And sometimes as a coach, your clients aren't gonna like love you or like exactly like what you bring to them. Mm-hmm. And that was a big learning for me too.
I can't tell you how many of my clients come to sessions being like, okay, like how are you gonna whip my ass today? Like, and it's so funny because I think that as a person, I am like that, where in my everyday life, I'm just like putting my foot in my mouth by saying what I think is true, even if it's like completely outrageous or like embarrassing or what. Like, I've just always been that way. And it has been a trait that could be perceived as a negative trait by like some of my friends. But in coaching, I'm glad to hear it is an asset.
Yeah. I mean, I think that speaks to maybe to just like, you know, we all have our own gifts. We all have our own flavors. Like we all have our own ways. And yeah, I think it's just always great to see someone sort of own whatever pieces of them, especially I think the parts that are like not normally like societally acceptable or palatable, good girl, nice girl, whatever. And like own it. And I think to, you know, have a coach, a mentor, a teacher who embodies that is powerful.
Thank you so much for all of the praise. I very much enjoyed it. I want to talk about honing your messaging around leadership, because there's a language that you've been talking about for the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give some airtime to your thoughts, your feelings, your processing of like speaking to leaders, particularly the way the world is right now, and just like have a moment for that.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I think that, you know, I'm going to bring back my maiden to mother journey and this like mature feminine energy, which I think the world needs. Again, like regardless of gender, I think every single one of us need to tap into our internal mature feminine. And I think that leadership has been something that has just been a natural thing for me my whole life. And it's taken me a lot to own that or even say that, because there's so much judgment around like being bossy or being disruptive. And, you know, but I've always just been the one to be like, hold on, like, this isn't working how it is. Like, let's like do this better or like do this a different way. And I think to me, one of the big things, and I'll credit one of my teachers, Sarah Durham Wilson, who does Maiden to Mother work, wrote a book of the same name. Just really thinking about like growing up out of like someone else is going to come to save us, and realizing like we are the ones that are here to save us now, especially during these times in the world. And it's something that I'm always contemplating and I'm always sort of refining. But actually, I've been reading a lot of Thich Nhat Hanh, who is one of my teachers and ancestors, Vietnamese Zen Buddhist monk, major peace activist, especially through the multiple occupations of Vietnam and the Vietnam War. And he actually started engaged Buddhism. So even in Vietnam during the war, there was a level of spiritual bypassing where the more traditional Buddhists were renunciates and sort of separate from the world and, you know, disengaged from the world. And he was a young, in his maiden era, I'm sure, young monk who was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, we need to take the Buddhist principles and we need to take them into the world. Like, it's people. Everyone around us is literally dying. Like, our country is burning. We're in this insane civil war, you know, all of that. And I think that for me, the call of leadership that I have, that's been brewing in me, has been how, and I think it's the same thing with you that you do with business, of like, how do we step up as the leaders of our, how do we first recognize that we are the leaders of our time? I think that's a big part of my work with my clients, but also, yeah, I both speak to my clients and my colleagues of like, I think there's a maturing that has to happen of like, we are now, like, we are the leaders of our world. Like, we are the people who are gonna create the things that change the world. Like, we can't keep sitting here thinking, you know, Sarah calls it like, you know, being the princess in the burning tower. Like, oh my God, someone else is going to come save us. I think it's like really waking up to that sobering reality of like, it's on us now, and stepping into that, right? It's really moving from, I think in our maiden years or in the hyper individualism of our society, from like, oh, how is life about me, to like, how is life about we? And I think that is, there's so much of just even that shift, I think, within our industry, within the wellness, the Western wellness complex, whatever you want to call it, and just really calling into, I think, this deep contemplation, or I've been in this contemplation and this invitation for other people to join me to, you know, in the path of Thich Nhat Hanh, him and four of his monks who were, you know, on the same vibe. They started writing papers and they're like, we have to reform Buddhism to meet the times of our world. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been doing so much decolonizing and reconnecting with my lineage and all of that over these past years. And it has really been like, how do we get back to the roots of what our wellness work, what our ethics, what our like community connection really is, and really calling people into, inviting people, like, if let's imagine that we are, and we are, like, I guess it's not even imagination, like, we are living in these these times that are really difficult. Another teacher of mine, Kriti Konko, she calls it poly crisis. It's like, it's not just the climate crisis. It's not just like white supremacy. It's not just the economy. Like, it's poly crisis. It's all of them like mashed into one. And we're all really having to navigate that. And I think to me, my work where I see it deepening, and this is like the parts that I've been parsing through, is like, how do we adjust and be leaders to have our work meet the times? How do we do that with our clients? How do we do that with each other in our leadership? And, you know, I think it's similar to what you do with Business Switch, and it's that same calling, right? I think that even had you create Business Switch of like, how do I create something to meet these times, to be the medicine, to be the antidote for what it is that we're living through, right? Late stage toxic capitalism, like, you know, all of that. And I think it's been the same for me. I think I've been inviting people into that. I think really more than anything, it's an open question. Like, as practitioners, as healers, as helpers, as creators in our world, like, how do we not just put our blinders on and be like, okay, well, like, this business is still like just for me, and really come into this questioning of like, what is the relationship between what we do and what's happening in the world? Because there's not a single client, there's not a single human, there's not a single person in the world that isn't currently touched by all of this. And then I think the other piece of my work underneath that is centering love, like centering pleasure, centering joy, which is also in the tradition of both Tantra and Buddhism, of like, you know, if we are more embodied in our pleasure, in our goodness, if we know how to have beautiful, intimate relationships, if we can really like stand for each other and love each other and be well loved and be well supported ourselves, we have the capacity to rise to that call. So yeah, I think it's the first time I've publicly actually like had all of these thoughts out loud, which feels good. So thank you so much for seeing that in me and letting me speak to it.
I loved it.
That's as you would call it, the mission.
Yes, it was so beautifully stated. And I think like really speaks to, like, as you were talking about it, what I was thinking about was Pluto in Aquarius, of like, this is what we were born for. And like what so much of the podcast content has come back to, no matter what guest I've had, of like, Aquarius is about the collective. It's about collective liberation. It's about putting community care over individual gain. It's about innovation in a way that is actually of service to people. And when you're talking about meeting the times and like going from hyper-individualism to collective community care and what that looks like in an online business that maybe was built inside of Pluto and Capricorn, which is like, there's an energy of corporate greed, which is, I think, the signature of what not Capricorn is. I'm not knocking my Capricorns, but Pluto in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. And like, we are having this conversation 2 weeks before Pluto moves from Capricorn into Aquarius. Ooh. And it'll be there for about 20 years. So I believe what you are speaking to is the energy of what all of us, whether we're on the bus right now or not, are going to have to get on the bus about, because like we were born to realize that our liberation is shared, that our ability to actually be happy and joyful and have enough of everything is in sharing it. So I'm so glad that you spoke to that. And it's like very timely from an astrological perspective.
This is also the fun part of being containers. I know that she will say like, I am not like a super expert, but to someone who's very like novice in astrology, like it's just fun to like get these little tidbits. I'm like, yes, I love it. Aquarius, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for people who like want more information about this, the episode that we had over the summer with Juliana McCarthy and Torrance talks about Pluto in Aquarius, and the episode of the Astrology of 2024 with Colin that came out on New Year's Day talks about Pluto in Aquarius. I'm excited for it. I think, and like this opening that you're having in your work about it is like what is needed. And so I think thank you for drawing it back into my work as well, because I've thought about this a lot. Like the purpose of what it is that I do is to help people bring their businesses into that time in a way that speaks to collective care. And if I'm being honest, the original conception of this business was about making as much money as possible, working as little as possible, which is like Pluto in Capricorn of like, yes, I'm going to be in my like harem pants in a shala, like eating pineapple while I make thousands of dollars through my online course portal, essentially doing nothing. And what I realized is like that didn't even actually feel good, because what I was wanting wasn't like the pineapple and the yoga shala. It was like the community that has come from working in the business.
Girl, yes. And I'm glad that we could both just like confess that, own it, name it. I think so many people I know built their business the same way. And I'm just so grateful to be in community with you in these conversations of just really growing up around all of that.
So if people want to be a part of what you're birthing in the work, where can they find you? Where would you like to direct them?
I think Instagram is the best place to hang out with me. Actually, no, I'm going to say my email newsletter. Lesson for everyone. both. On Instagram, I'm the Ann Nguyen, TheAnnNguyen. It is worth playing that back to write that down, because
I'll have it in the show notes too.
it's bomb ass shit. And you can sign up for my newsletter too through the link in my bio. I actually really love sending newsletters. It's my favorite way to be connected with people. There's just always going to be more that's coming. So that's the best way to stay updated with what's happening in my world.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing with everyone. I feel like we've really covered it, but you know, I like to ask, what's your why? Why do you do what you do?
Oh my God. I do what I do because I think I just sound so corny. Like I actually, Rachel Cargill calls it the living. Because I just love the living so much. Like, I love pleasure. I love love. I love seeing people in love. I love the energy and the reverberations of having more love in the world and what that does. And it genuinely brings me just so much joy. And I just want to give that to as many people as possible.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we will see you, witches, next time on Business Witch.